Oh, that's right. I tell you what, I was just asking two very southern people if they could talk like pirates today. They said they weren't sure they could do it, but I have the Duck Dynasty part of the family right here on the phone with me here this morning. I have Alan Robertson and his lovely wife, Lisa. How are y'all doing this morning?
We are doing great. Arr!
There you go.
All right, Alan, don't stand back. I know you didn't have a beard, but you can still give a little arg, can't you?
Well, I guess I can today.
That's probably a first for Duck Dynasty people.
Yeah, if you don't have a beard, it kind of throws you off. You don't know how to do that.
Yeah, we do have a lot of Johnny Depp looking characters in our family. I'm just not one of them.
Okay. Well, listen, I am thrilled that y'all are coming here to Greenwood on Sunday for South Baptist Church there on Main Street, and you'll be there. But I was reading over your bio and everything, and Alan, how did you get in the ministry from where your family was at the time you were growing up?
Well, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, so when mom and dad converted Christianity, it happened to be here in West Monroe at our church, Whites Ferry Road. And so this was the church we came to when I was a 9-year-old boy. And I just wound up having an opportunity to go to seminary at the same with the same church. We had a seminary back in those days. And I'm one of those guys that I came and I never left. So I had been working there for about 7 years, and a little old lady said, "When are you going to get out and get a real job?" I said, "Well, I thought I was working here." So they just kind of saw me as part of the landscape. But I was able to grow up in the same church, wound up going to school, interning, and I spent my whole 25 years in ministry at the same place. It was a great blessing.
Well, when you were 7, 8, and 9, what did you think you were going to grow up to be? I'm always fascinated by this kind of stuff.
Well, at that age for me, I was just trying to survive. Dad was, as he calls it, a rank heathen back in those days, and we were actually running a bar when I was about 7 years old up on the Arkansas-Louisiana line. So I didn't really have a lot of aspirations. I sure didn't see myself in ministry, and yet that's where God seemed to guide me and direct me ultimately. So I always thought I was going to be a civil engineer for some reason, but I guess I had too much flair and dramatics for that particular profession.
Now, here's the other question I was thinking about. How would it be to be in the ministry and be a pastor and have your dad sitting in the congregation?
That's a great question. Along with all my other mentors, it was very intimidating, I think, in the early days. But he was always my biggest cheerleader and still is. I have to say, Dad, you see Dad, he's kind of, people think he's kind of scary and all that kind of stuff because he's, so straightforward. But, he was, after every sermon, he was always one of the first people to tell me what a good job I'd done and to encourage me and things like that. And he's still that way. So he made it easier for me to do that, and to be able to do that effectively through the years. But he and I, now we do ministry together. We're both elders here at our church. And so it's a real blessing to get to work side by side with him, trying to help win people to Christ.
Well, if he was anything like my dad, he would say something like, "Well, that wasn't a bad sermon, son, daughter here. But if you just had added this piece, you never got any of that."
No, he's just not that kind of guy. He, when we grew up, he always, and he's right. He didn't have a lot of rules for us. He was stern about what we were supposed to do, but at the same time, he's always been kind of a low key guy in terms of that sort of thing. So he's not much of a critic. I'm very different than him. All the brothers, we all like to speak and do things our own way, but everybody has a different style, and mine's certainly quite a bit different from Dad's. But at the same time, he's always been appreciative of me and my approach. So I'm more of a teacher, I'm a little more diplomatic than he is. He's a little more straightforward. I always say I'm a pastor and he's a prophet. That's kind of our roles.
Well, that's a good answer to that. Now, when this opportunity to do Duck Dynasty came along, I understand you went and talked to Toby about what this, whether you guys should do this, what it would mean futuristically for investments and everything, and Toby had some words of encouragement for you, right?
Oh yeah, Toby has been a friend for a long time, and I've always trusted his opinion. He's a really quality person, and you know he was right here at First Baptist in West Monroe, and so I have a great relationship with a lot of the other pastors around town. So I always look to those guys for wisdom. We used to have a big prayer group together with several of the pastors here locally, and it's really neat. Our town is really has a great relationship with each other. We're not as competitive, I guess, as some communities can be in terms of churches. So Toby's always been a trusted resource, and he's a guy that I like to turn to to give me some advice. He's much older than me, so I always turn to my elders for wisdom.
Toby, are you listening?
Yeah, he'll love that one.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. But but as you were getting ready to start this show, I mean, how did this all come together that they said, gosh, this family would make a great show?
Well, you know, people were looking at that time, just, 7 or 8 years ago, reality TV was still sort of, kind of a thing. I think it's a little bit waning now, but they were looking for sort of dynamic families from Alaska and Louisiana. That seemed to be the hot ones, and Swamp People was kind of at their all-time high at that time. So I think we just kind of came up on their radar. We had a show that was on the Outdoor Channel, but it was more of a hunting show because that's what we were about. And of course, Lisa and I were fully engaged in full-time ministry. So when they wanted to shoot it and do it, we were thinking, well, this, who knows if this is going to even work, So we didn't leave our jobs originally until it sort of took off after that first year. But I think it was just, the beards and the duck hunting and all that. I think it just all kind of came together for them. And, they saw the family dynamic and they liked it. And we weren't one of those kind of families that, some of the reality shows, they fight and fuss all the time. And that wasn't really us. But at the same time, there were some interesting dynamics, I think, that they thought would work on television. Obviously, they were right.
Well, Lisa, how was this whole experience with the family and Duck Dynasty and everything? How was that from your perspective?
Well, I'm not really a very good actor or actress.
Right.
And so whenever I'm sort of like my mother, just, I say the first thing that comes out, and that's not always a good thing. I have learned to think just a tad before, before I say things. But it was really exciting. Whenever Al and I did start filming for the show, we loved it because we loved being with the family. We loved having our dinners together. Just hanging out. So we actually loved it. I think they were all just about tired of it about the time we came on, but we kind of put a little life back into them, just to say, look, this is something new. Now we're all together, all four brothers are here doing this together. And we love our family and we love to hang out with our family. And so it was great. We loved it.
Well, that think before you speak is a hard thing to learn, isn't it?
Oh, it's taken me. How long have we been married? 34 years. It's taken me about 34 years to.
She's still working on it.
I'm still working on it, though.
Well, I've got to tell you, I watched a clip last night about you all talking about your relationship. And I'm not going to go into all of it right here on the radio because I know you're going to talk about some of that at the church. But I love the part, Lisa, where you said something to the effect that you love him more every day, and every day you can't believe you love him more, but that you hope when you go to heaven that you could be married in heaven. And Alan keeps telling you it's not like that up there. I love that part of that clip.
Yeah, one of his mentors, before he passed away, I was talking to him, and He said, "Yeah." He said, "Lisa, there's no marriage in heaven." Because I said, "I want to be married to Alan forever." He said, "Well, you know, there's no marriage in heaven." And I said, "Oh, but mine is so good. Couldn't it just? I mean, you know, and couldn't we just? You think God could make an exception just for that?" And he, you know, but he was good. He said, "Look, we don't know what it's like, so you know, maybe you'll have that special relationship there." And but that's one of the things that makes me a little bit sad about either one of us passing on, is that once we pass on, then that relationship possibly, you know, could be over. And like you said, I never knew that I could love him more tomorrow than I did today, but I just wake up and that's the way it is.
Well, you are very blessed, Lisa, because there's a whole lot of people out there that go, "What the heck did I do?"
You're right. And you know what? I thought that right at first, too, but the Lord opened my eyes. So I think one of those things, that's what we have to do, is we have to think about what blessings God has given us and, you know, in the moment whenever we have that trouble.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Alan, there's got to be some strife that went on in this family when you were talking about how to do something. Now, a reality show, it is kind of not scripted, but it's not just totally unplanned, is it?
No, I mean, that's exactly right. I call it, you know, loosely real. It's you know, the show itself is, especially the first few seasons, were pretty much based on stories that had happened in our lives. We used to get together with the producers at the end of every year and basically just tell stories, and they would take notes, and, you know, then they would get together and come back. But I always tell people about, you know, 75% of it is stuff that really goes on and really happens in our lives. About 25% of it is them saying, "Wouldn't it be funny if," you know, type storylines. So, and you know, some of those are funny episodes, I have to admit, but that's sort of how it is. And they loosely have a script, but as you can tell from watching, you know, it's hard to script somebody like my Uncle Si. You know, he just doesn't do well with that. So it was pretty much just us off the cuff doing what we do, which was usually fun.
Most of the crazy stunts actually were true if they involved Si.
Yeah. I remember watching one about going to eat donuts. I mean, I can't remember the whole thing, but they were who could eat the most donuts at the donut shop or something. I mean,
yep, exactly.
Funny stuff.
Yeah, and you know, again, that's exactly what would happen. It wouldn't be quite as dramatic as it is on the show, but somebody would, you know, bring in 3 dozen donuts, and, you know, basically everybody would just see how many they could eat until they got, you know, made themselves sick. So those are all real things that happen in our family's life, and they just sort of, you know, replayed them on television.
Yeah. Well, it did you ever sit down and go, "I got nothing here today"?
No, one thing about the Robertsons is we never run out of material. So, you know, every day is a new day for something crazy to happen. And so it was fun. And even when the show ended, you know, people said, "Well, I'm sure you were glad because, you know, I'm sure you ran out of stuff to do." And I said, "Well, it wasn't really for that reason at all. It's just that at some point you just sort of feel like you've told the story as much as you can tell it." But I think we could have gone on and continued to do more.
Well, you know, have you ever felt exposed? Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, not being followed around by cameras all the time, there's an upside to that, too. It's kind of nice to have a break. But we're very camera friendly, so we're always doing something, you know.
Well, this morning on the radio, you have some people listening in Germany through our internet over there. So they are listening here. And I understand Toby was telling me, where was he? He was in Africa or something and saw a display of Duck Dynasty material.
Oh, yeah. We've seen it all over the world. In fact, there's been at least two of our books that have been translated into German. I know Dad's book was for sure, and I think one of the others. So, yeah, we've got fans all around the world. The last time I heard, we were about in 35 countries. The show was, which is always hilarious. Every once in a while you run across the show in some other language, and it's always funny to hear them, you know, doing us in different languages, you know, with different people. So, no, we love Germany. In fact, Si spent a lot of his Army career stationed there, and his daughter, Tracy Lee, who's beautiful and very intelligent, you know, she totally doesn't fit in the family mode, in Si's family. And my theory has always been that there's some German girl running around that looks like Si, and that some German family can't figure out why she's so different. And there must have been a switch at birth, because his daughter is way too pretty and way too smart to be a part of his family.
Okay, I'll tell you a quick joke here that just has that goes right with this. Guy and his wife are leaving the hospital. They just had a baby, taking it home. The woman, the little boy, I think it was a little boy, messed in his diapers, and so she goes, "Here, honey, take him back in and change him." So he runs back into the hospital. He comes back out. 10 years later, the woman's sitting there going, "You know, this just doesn't look like it should be our son." She has a DNA test done, and it's not her son. She says to her husband, "What do you think happened here?" And he goes, "You don't remember? You told me to go in and change him for another one."
Oh, my goodness.
That is
well, maybe that's what happened with Si and Tracy Lee. Maybe he took her back in to change her, and that's how they got her.
Anyway.
There's some German family out there, and the little girl, every other word is Jack, and they can't figure out what's going on.
Yeah, maybe so. All right. Well, anyways, I understand Miss Kay has a pie shop or a sweet shop. Does she still have that?
Yes, it's called Miss Kay's Sweets and Eats, and our youngest daughter and one of Alan's cousins run that. Our youngest daughter is a pastry chef, and so they use all of Miss Kay's recipes. Sometimes she's in there. One day we want to do, you know, some kind of Miss Kay in there teaching somebody how to make a pie crust or something like that. But, yeah, and you can order that all over the country. They ship everywhere. So that's Miss Kay's Sweets and Eats,
wow.
And you can find them on Facebook or Twitter.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, we'll have to check that out. You know, cooking shows are pretty hot, so that's not a bad idea.
That's right. Yeah, and she's very good at it.
You know, one of the other things I was doing was looking over the whole family and all the things that the kids are now involved in. What a great opportunity they have had, having had this background with Duck Dynasty and the exposure and everything. I mean, I'm just very impressed with how the family has blossomed, shall we say, and made something of themselves.
We're very proud of them, too. All of our nieces and nephews are just incredible people, and they have really taken what God has given them and put it to good use. Reed is making music, but then also studying to be a counselor. His wife is going to school to be a nurse. You know, Sadie is in school. No, she's not in school. She's working and speaking. Last year she spoke to over 1 million teens. And then Cole is in school at Pepperdine. And Rebecca, our sweet little Rebecca, who owns the clothing store, Rebecca is pregnant.
Okay.
And so we will have a little Taiwanese baby come January.
Okay.
And so we're excited for everybody. Just the great things that those kids are doing. They are incredible, incredible people, adults now, but they are just some really good, good kids.
Alan, why do you think that's so? So many times when we see people get into, I'll say, Hollywood, reality, whatever type shows and everything, they go in such bad directions, shall we say. What do you think brought that so that, really, as far as I can see, the whole group is just doing great?
Well, some of that. We spend a lot of time in prayer. You know, when our show came along, that was when Hannah Montana was turning into Miley Cyrus. And, you know, that was everybody's fear, I think. And so we spent a lot of time praying about that, and a lot of times really just kind of insulating and grounding our children. And because, you know, they don't really get asked whether they want to be a part of this or not. You know, they just kind of come along as part of the package. So, you know, I think that was part of mine, Lisa's role, was to make sure we covered that in prayer and had some, you know, great conversations with my siblings about, you know, let's make sure that they don't think they're a big deal, that this is just God working through all of us.
Right. Right, because, I mean, and of course, the money's been real good, and they've been a perk definitely for that. I mean, I guess if nobody really wanted to work, they really wouldn't have to.
Well, and right, and so you're talking about just starting your life in their case. So you really have to, you know, part of that is just being grounded as a family. We grew up with very little, and so the fact that everybody's been successful now, I think everybody just remembers what it was like. So you just haven't seen a lot of that, you know, riches and fame, you know, spoil everybody's mindset. So we're not perfect. I mean, everybody struggles with something, but at the same time, that's been a great blessing to kind of keep that in the proper perspective.
Absolutely. So what are y'all doing now that Duck Dynasty is off the air? What are y'all doing now?
Well, Lisa and I are coming to Greenwood, South Carolina. Yes. Is what we're doing in the immediate future. But we actually are traveling, speaking, and that's pretty much everybody's kind of doing their own projects. Will and Corey do a lot of humanitarian work. They're associated with several organizations. And I always joke, Jace should become a professional golfer because he's playing golf pretty much about every day until he gets something else to do. Dad's doing what he always does, just down on the river. In fact, we've got a new show with him. I started a production company, and we're producing his new show called In the Woods with Phil, which is on CRTV.com. And Mom and I opened a bakery together that my daughter works at. So we have a lot of fun projects that we get to work on. Lisa and I are writing a new book that'll be out next year called Desperate Forgiveness, and Dad has written a new book. So everybody's staying busy. We feel like we're tumbleweeds going where the Lord directs us.
Well, I think that's great, and I think it's great to see a family that took this opportunity and didn't destroy themselves through it, but made something out of it. I think that's a testament to your family, particularly because of the way things were in the beginning. It wasn't like that. I mean, you didn't come from a well-grounded family to begin with early on.
Well, exactly. We feel like God built this platform for us, and it was really through a lot of, I called it a 40-year humility training. And which, by the way, is very biblical. You know, Moses spent 40 years down there in the Midian Hilton learning how to be humble before God before he would lead the, you know, his people out of Egypt. So I feel like, you know, we were down there on the river fishing and building duck calls and didn't have two nickels to rub together. And God was teaching us how to be humble because he knew one day we'd be on national television. So, you know, when the platform got built, we were ready to get up there and talk about God from that platform.
Pretty cool. You know, it brings me to the song on the cover of the Rolling Stones.
There you go.
The Medicine Man, whatever the name of it is, but on the cover of the Rolling Stones. You guys have done great. We certainly look forward to having you here in Greenwood. I understand I'm going to have another opportunity to talk to you all Saturday morning. We've got a totally good group of classic country music lovers, and we're going to have you on Saturday morning about 10:05. So God bless you, each and every one. I know you have struggled, and you have made a success out of it, and that's what we want to hear about when you come here to Greenwood on Sunday at South Main Baptist Church.
Well, we appreciate it and appreciate you having us, and we look forward to being there this weekend. We're going to have a great time in Greenwood, and Toby and those guys at South Main are really great people. So we just encourage everybody to come check it out.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks so much. Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks for calling in. Alan and Lisa Robertson of Duck Dynasty. Have a great day.
Thank you.
All right, so there you go, Duck Dynasty, right on the air with us here this morning. Alan and Lisa Robertson, they are going to be here on Sunday, and they're going to be having a great time right here in Greenwood, sharing some, I'm sure, some fantastic stories. I did a little research for this and was very impressed to see what they were talking about and what was happening.